Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Remember about, 10 days ago, we had American Life League on this show. They've got some great people there, Judy Brown, Jim Sedlak, and others. And YouTube had censored one of their videos exposing Planned Parenthood for being the filthy organization that it is. And there was such an outcry from around the country, pro-lifers, and thanks to many of you in this audience complaining to YouTube, that YouTube released the statement. They said that it was a technical malfunction, it was a glitch in the system, and actually, of course, we know what it was. It was a YouTube employee who is pro-abortion, who didn't like Planned Parenthood being exposed. They didn't like American Life League, and so they pulled American Life League, Judy Brown's video. Well, that video is now back on YouTube, and we're thankful for your support, those of you who did go ahead and contact YouTube and complain. Of course, Google has purchased YouTube, so now this was a Google decision to return the American Life League video exposing Planned Parenthood to their website. So that's good news. And more good news is that Joe Scott is in the studio. Joe, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you back in the state of Colorado. Joe, you're the head of Pro-Life Colorado. You're the director?
Yeah.
You're the director of Pro-Life Colorado. And you were one of the, there was a group of 70 regional leaders, pro-life leaders, in Charlotte, North Carolina last weekend. So now you're back. And I did talk to you by phone to get an update.
Yeah.
But I was hoping to get more particulars from you. So tell us about the trip. And before we hear about the summit, the meetings themselves, you guys also went to the local abortion clinic.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
In Charlotte on Saturday morning. And it's a setup where they can have a huge sound system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just a bullhorn. They can use full-out loud sound, you know, on those speakers. And so they can talk to everybody going in.
In a lot of cities, you can't get away with that. But in Charlotte, they managed to pull that off.
Right. And above the abortion clinic, about 20 feet above, is a parking lot. And you can walk through that parking lot around a chain link fence and be 20 feet above the cars that are parking, making direct eye contact with the girls that are going in.
Wow.
Amazing, amazing contact abilities there.
Which we're going to lose when this new abortion clinic for Planned Parenthood is built in Denver out in Stapleton, because it's this abortion mega clinic.
Right.
And it's going to be very difficult to talk to the women who are going there to kill their children. So the number of annual saves, which is averaged about 100 a year, might go down terribly if, in fact, they complete building this clinic.
That's true, Bob. But Saturday in North Carolina, we were able to make eye contact, and I was able to talk to all the girls going in. Didn't even need the sound system when you're on that wall. And two babies were saved.
Two children were saved.
Two babies were saved.
And that
two
one
women.
Day at that one abortion clinic,
yes.
They were scheduled to. These moms were scheduled to kill their kids.
Yeah, and we were able to talk to the girls, to talk them into keeping their babies and get them help locally, which is necessary, and it worked like a charm with these two girls.
Wow.
But then the amazing thing happened was there were a lot of men that were there, leaders from all over the country, and they were standing outside the parking lot, and I had called to the security guard because Ante is the man that stood up in the Senate.
In the Senate in Washington, D.C., when that Hindu was about to pray.
Right.
And Ante called out to God to forgive us.
For that.
For the paganism that has become so prevalent in our land. And that was just great. We've played that audio over and over on this show.
And the video was even better.
The video is even better.
Yeah, it is.
That's right.
Well, we stayed with Kathy and Ante, and unfortunately, while we were there, that same pagan prayed in the Senate here in Colorado.
In Colorado, and no one found out about it until the next day.
That's right.
So that was too bad. He's a Buddhist.
Right.
From, I think, Arizona, is it?
I don't know.
So he was here to pray. And that just absolutely tragic, of course.
Yes, it was.
An insult to God.
Yep. But he had informed me on the way to the abortion clinic that the security guard called himself a Christian, and he'd only been there maybe 3 months. So I got out of the car and started talking to him, and it was obvious he was willing to talk. So a couple of the men took over. Coach Dobemeyer from Ohio, he's been on your show.
Coach Dave Dobemeyer.
Yeah.
Salt and, what's the name of his ministry?
Salt Ministries.
Salt Ministries in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
Yeah, he's been on the radio there for years, so he was there, huh?
Yeah, he was there.
Oh, wow.
And he's such an inspiring man to begin with, so energetic. Coach talked to him.
Talked to the security guard.
Right.
Was this an abortion clinic part of a chain or a standalone?
It's a standalone
clinic.
And they were talking back and forth, and Coach said, we'll get you another job. And then another gentleman that... his name escapes me. I don't know him well. He offered him a job, and they just kept talking back and forth. And the guy called his wife, and his wife was a little upset because he was getting $25 an hour to be there.
Oh, my.
So Coach stayed on him. I talked to him some more. Several other people talked to him some more.
Coach Dave Dobemeyer.
Right. And he said, look, just come out. We'll make sure that you have a job. And the guy called his wife back, and then he just said, I'm leaving. And he came out, all the men stood with him and prayed, and he felt really guilty for being there.
Yeah. Wow, that is so very encouraging. So here's, just like Will Duffy has seen happen with the Collaborators Project, and that's really, you know, that's the Collaborators Project in operation, although not under that name.
Right.
And hopefully the Collaborators Project will continue to see, you know, groups functioning in a coordinated way around the country, centered on the White's billion-dollar construction company, but then all collaborators turning up the pressure, urging people to quit. Joe, that is just thrilling. And I like how you said the guys came around, and the guys said to him, come on, we could work together, we could get you a job.
Right.
Could I tell, this is a tangent, but real quickly, when I was, I don't know, about 19 years old, 20 years old, I traveled across the country to study the Bible in Costa Mesa, California with Chuck Smith, well, in his church. You're familiar with Chuck Smith, Calvary. He started the first Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa. And I got there 8 o'clock at night, had very little money. You know, I was just a punk kid. And one of the elders of the church, I told him, I just came across the country to study the Bible here. I'm moving here. I want to study the Bible. And he said, well, where are you going to stay? What kind of job? I said, I don't have anything yet. I got to find all that. He said, well, why don't you stay the night at the church? I said, oh, where? He said, well, we have this prayer room here right next to the, right off the main sanctuary. It's got beautiful furniture, couches. Just sleep here. And I thought, I never heard of that in my whole life.
Yeah.
Somebody at a church inviting you to, this is a mega church too. So he said, just sleep here, and at 5:30 in the morning, we have a men's prayer breakfast. So you could let people know you're looking for work. And so I went, 5:30 in the morning to breakfast. I thought there'd be 6-8 guys. There were 300 guys.
Wow.
And so the wives of the church cooked just wonderfully. And guys shared, prayed, Bible study. And I stood up and said, I need a place to stay. And I need a job. I'm here. I came across the country to study the Bible. The guy sitting right across from me, he said, I've got a home. I've got a room. You could stay with me. And the guy sitting right next to me said, I own a car lot. You're hired. We'll start right away.
Wow.
So not only were the prayers answered, they're answered within 30 seconds by the two people closest to me in the hall room.
That's right.
And so when Christians are living the Christian life, taking the gospel, not as though it's just something to do on Sunday, but extraordinary things happen. So here are Christian men in Charlotte, North Carolina. They're not even from there. These are leaders from all over the country, 70 regional leaders, and they get together. And what a change in this guy's life. He says, I'm not going to work at a child killing center. I'm going to quit.
Right in the second security guard was still inside, but when the first one quit, he told us the other one was his brother.
Oh, my.
So he quit and went home. So that had kind of a draw on the second one. And we just stayed on him, especially Coach kept talking to him. And the other guy was offering him a job. And it just went on and on. And yeah. Finally, he said, I'm done. And so he leaves the parking lot and comes out to us. And he's standing out there. And now there's no security guard in the abortion clinic.
So both security guards quit.
Both of them quit. So,
and two women decided not to kill their babies.
Right.
So there were two saves, two quits.
Yeah. And then while they were praying with the second one that quit, the abortion clinic had someone else come to take the first guy's place.
A security guard.
The first security guard place. Right. Well,
it's like being at war, you know, and there are usually replacements for the casualties.
Right. So the second guy is out on the sidewalk still playing with Coach and Rusty Thomas.
The second security guard, the brother.
The brother, right. They're still outside praying. The third guy shows up, and we go to him and bring him over to where Rusty Thomas is and Coach is. And he finds out that it's an abortion clinic. He won't go in.
So. Now that is so encouraging. So here are these Christian leaders from around the country, and they see, you know, God is faithful. Just in them being there shows the faithfulness of God, you and everybody who was there. And then the courage to cry out to these people.
Right.
And then to be blessed with these kind of responses. Praise God, Joe.
Well,
thank you for being there.
The third guy was overwhelmed because on the corner, way far, I couldn't see where Ken and Flip and all of them were out on a corner to reach all the cars before they even got to the abortion clinic. So he had to go through the gauntlet there. And then he shows up, and he was just totally overwhelmed. So it was easy to just get him to go home.
Wow.
So they were left with no security guard for about an hour. And then the head of all the security showed up.
He had to show up.
Yeah, he was very disgruntled.
On a Saturday.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he just wants to get paid by the kids who get killed on Saturdays. Yeah. He doesn't want to actually have to protect the abortionist who kills the kids.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So
that went
okay,
really well.
So that was sort of the extracurricular activity because you guys went to have a meeting, a summit of leaders. And I know that most of the leaders had the opportunity to make a presentation, but there were a couple keynote talks or presentations, if you will. And you were one of those two special talks to the group. And you and I have briefly talked about how you presented the personhood strategy and the opposition to child killing regulation. But talk through that now that you're here in studio, Joe. How did it go?
It just went fabulous. Flip had called us and said...
Flip Benham. The National Director of Operation Rescue OSA, Operation Save America.
Right. He called us and told us that we would be speaking to come up with some bullet points. Hmm. Well, I came up with some bullet points, lots of them.
In other words, to highlight what's happening in your region. So you were the representative of the Denver pro-life community.
Yeah. So when we got up, we just talked about everything that's happened in the last year, which was overwhelming. But to be able to talk about going to the National Right to Life meeting
in Kansas City, they were cheering.
They could not believe that we had the gall to rent a hospitality suite and actually believe that it was going to work.
That it was going to work on the 40th floor of the Hyatt, 40 floors above the National Right to Life's annual convention down on the first floor. And what a time we had. Hundreds of their conventioners came up to this. It was basically Colorado Right to Life hospitality suite.
Right.
Where we showed the utter failure of the child killing regulations. And then you could kill the baby. That's a bad law. And the failure of the partial birth abortion fiasco, which raised $250 million and never had the ability to stop a single abortion. And so we went through all that and promoted the personhood wing of the pro-life movement.
And you know what they loved? They loved the story of Everett. Everett Stadig. Standing
Abraham
at the door.
Abraham Lincoln lookalike.
Yeah, they loved what he said when he said 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth onto this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposal that all men are created equal, no exceptions.
That got cheers.
So
here he is. He's the spitting image of Abraham Lincoln. Plus, he's dressed with
the top hat and everything.
The whole bit, right down to the shoes. And created equal, no, and he pointed his finger.
Right.
The no exceptions. And then to his left was the hospitality suite, and to his right was the theater.
Right.
Almost everybody first went into the hospitality suite. Yeah. It was bright. There was so much food. We treated people like kings and queens.
Yeah.
And then when people came out, and often they stayed in there for a half hour, 2 hours, then they'd come out, and he'd say, well, I had a bad experience in a theater once, but I think you might have a better experience in my theater. And they'd laugh. And they'd go into the theater and hear his focus on the strategy playing, 12 hours a day.
Yeah. They loved it. They loved just the creativity of everything. Mm. It really inspired them to think outside of the box.
What can we do
right
to promote the personhood wing of the pro-life movement, personhood strategy, and to teach Christians that we should not be supporting child killing regulations?
And they were very touched and moved by the fact that so many pro-lifers came up to the room and saw the DVD, and their reactions to it. Mm. Some of them were crying. Some of them were heartbroken. Some of them were enraged.
Were enraged that they spent, yeah, you're right, people crying, literally, when they see what they had done for 15 years, working so hard, giving so much money for a lie, the partial birth abortion fraud.
Right.
It was a fraud.
And they were also amazed by the personhood amendment, that it's one line.
The personhood amendment in Colorado.
Right.
And that's one bullet, right?
Right.
So those were two bullets out of like 30 bullets.
Yeah.
All the things that happened in the last year. So there were 70 leaders there, and you're saying that the sense of the whole group was they were excited about personhood?
Very excited about personhood, and they're really coming to grips with the no regulation idea. A lot of them didn't understand it completely, but they've come completely to grips with it. They understand, they love, and then you can kill the baby.
Those seven words.
Yes, they love it.
And then you can kill the baby.
Because it makes everything so clear, so easy. You don't have to go through a moral dilemma trying to figure out if something's right or wrong.
Right. Any law that ends with, and then you could kill the baby, is a bad law.
Right.
And in fact, if you're not sure what that all leads to, just go on the internet, go to andthenyoucouldkillthebaby.com.
That's right.
And that'll show you exactly what that's all about. And that has been a 30-year failure. And now today we have judges throughout the federal judiciary on the U.S. Supreme Court. Virtually every judge we have rejects the God-given right to life of the unborn. They all reject it. Why? Because they've been upholding regulations for killing kids for 30 years. They think the government has the right to kill kids.
That's right.
They really think it. Antonin Scalia thinks the government has the right to kill kids.
Because pro-life leaders have taught them that.
Pro-life leaders have taught them that. And then you could kill the baby. If the father's a criminal, then you kill the baby. If you wait 24 hours, then you kill the baby. If you sign a sheet of paper, then you kill the baby. If you see this ultrasound, then you could kill the baby.
And some of the people that were there, they were into child regulating. One of them, after the speech, came up to me and said, I just wanted to get up and hug you the whole time you were talking. I said, well, hug me now. He was about 7 feet tall. They could not fix one of the fans because nobody could reach it. And he just walked over and fixed it. He was a huge man. That's wonderful crazy. Man. But
do you remember what city or state he was from?
No, I don't remember.
Hard to remember
too
it.
Many.
Yeah.
But he was just thrilled with everything that was going on, and he got it. He got it, and he also got the fact, and so did a lot of others, that it has been the pro-life leadership in this country that have led the country to believe you can kill the child. It's been us, because we haven't been able to articulate things correctly.
Right. And even with the Colorado Personhood Amendment, you know, we're getting signatures. The signature drive, I think, and I'm not an expert at this at all. I've talked to Doug Bruce about this twice. One, when this first started. Now, Colorado Right to Life's not running the Personhood Amendment campaign. This is Colorado for Equal Rights.
Right.
But I'm with Colorado Right to Life, and they're very supportive of the effort, you know, full on trying to help. And so when this first started, I called Doug Bruce because down in Colorado Springs, I knew he brought quite a few initiatives to the ballot successfully. Mm-hmm. Talked through what it means to make this happen. Talked to some of the people who were involved last year with Focus on the Family, the Marriage Amendment. In fact, I was involved with that. Denver Bible Church was one of the, I don't know how many, 140 churches or so that were promoting that. We've got 232 churches now that are on board getting signatures for the Personhood Amendment. And, you know, the group backed by Focus on the Family last year, they succeeded. They got the signatures, but they had to raise a lot of money because there's so far that volunteers will bring you. Getting signatures at their churches, their friends, their neighbors, and then typically these efforts stall out, and you still need another 30 or 40,000 signatures.
Right.
And so that's when you really need money also. And that's where this effort, you know, it's really going to come down to the wire, and we have to pray for God's blessing and for courage of people to get signatures and to donate money.
Yes.
And they could donate money to Colorado Right to Life. In fact, Joe, you know that groups like National Right to Life will raise money for the pro-life work going on in San Diego trying to ban abortion there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take that money and they oppose the ban.
That's right.
So they get the money and they don't spend a dollar supporting it. In fact, they oppose it.
Right.
What a tragedy. So Colorado Right to Life has made a commitment to never raise money on the backs of other projects, never. And in this case, it's so encouraging that the campaign, they're urging people to give money to the groups that have come along to support this Personhood Amendment. So if somebody wants to donate to Colorado Right to Life, please do. There's no deduction. You can't get a deduction because this is political activity. But you can call Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394, and you could give $300, $500, $2,000 for the Personhood Amendment campaign. First to get the signatures, then for the campaign.
And it's so important. They need that money. There are a lot of people that are out there working every day, all day long, and giving up their personal lives just mm-hmm. to get this through for us.
And so from what I can tell, then I had the opportunity to meet Doug Bruce. He's now a legislator at the Capitol in person, and we talked through this issue in the campaign and the signatures. And from what I can tell, this effort is doing better than other efforts have done and better than last year with the marriage amendment.
Great.
And that is another cause to praise God for what's happening in Colorado. And there are so many leaders in Colorado and all over the country that have endorsed this.
Bob, I've got to tell you, this is the first time in the history of my pro-life involvement that an organization has decided to put Christ first and obey God, honor God with everything they're doing. And it's the first time that I've ever seen this much activity going on anywhere.
Fighting
and that
abortion
was,
in 20 years. This is the most activity in 20 years.
And all the leaders agreed at this meeting. They all said the same thing.
Oh, you mean at this regional meeting
in
Charlotte, North Carolina. The same thing here. We had a different meeting, a summit of 30 leaders in Denver at the Timbers Hotel, and that's what launched American Right to Life. And it was the same thing. Of course, these gatherings are people who are inclined toward this because they see the failure of 30 years of compromising on God's command, do not murder, basically for partisan politics reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They see that, but in these ranks, there have been so many who advocated all this compromise in these ranks.
Right.
And now they are changing.
Right.
And these are leaders who go back to their local radio show like Coach Dave Dobemeyer or their local church or their ministry or Missionaries to the Preborn and on and on and on and on.
And, you know, another thing that I got from the leaders that were there is that they have contacted this ministry, American Right to Life, American Right to Life Action, Colorado Right to Life, and they're saying they're being treated so well, better than they've been treated by National Right to Life by far and any other ministry. You know, they've asked for DVDs. They get them the next day. They can't believe it.
Yeah, that's right. Know? Now, American Right to Life really needs of more volunteer help, too.
Yes.
And help, research help, and graphic artist help, and all these kind of... So people out there who want to volunteer, please think of what your skills are and let American Right to Life know. You can go to their website and email them. Joe, we're almost out of time. One guy, where was he from? Mike Warren?
Yeah, Mike Warren from New York. He got up and he said that he was a regulator. He was...
A child-killing regulator. He supported that.
Said I was diehard, and he said, I watched that DVD, Focus 2, and I finally have understood, and I'm 100% on board. I repent from ever doing that.
Wow.
It was so cool to listen to him.
Yeah, and we've seen that. Judge Roy Moore, Alabama Chief Justice of Alabama State Supreme Court, and he came out praising the partial birth abortion ruling, celebrating it. And he publicly repented and said, I didn't read it, and it was wrong, and it's a brutally wicked ruling. It violates the law of God and the law of man.
You know, it's bringing honest, godly men to the surface, which is really cool, I think, to see them surface and lead, because that's what we need, men in leadership.
So there is momentum, and I ask God to help us not to waste this momentum.
Oh, please,
and
God.
And you know what? We need people who know how to organize and administer because you know, you could have the greatest hamburger stand in the country, but you need a Ray Kroc to franchise it.
Right.
And so that's what we need at American Right to Life. We need people who can come alongside now and begin to organize and spread it out, to bottle it up. Coca-Cola bottling. That's what we need to do. So thank you, Joe Scott, so very much.
Thanks, Bob, for
joining me in studio, no less. And this is our telethon. Could you tell? We spent the whole show talking about the Bob in Your Life telethon, right? And it's the month of February to help us reach more people over the next year. We are at $5,700. We have a goal of $25,000. $25,000. How are we going to reach that goal? We will not unless you help. I mean, there are not people standing in the wings who are just waiting to write a check for $20,000. If you recognize the value of what we're doing here at Bob and Yart Live and you want to help, please call us 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278, or give online at kgov.com. And my brother, Home Remodeling, 720, Brian Enyart, 641-7033.